Welcome to Moe's Paisley Penny Arcade. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Paisley Penny Arcade. I am Mo, the proprietor of the arcade, and welcome. How y'all doing? I hope everyone is doing well. Today I am here doing what I do and proprietoring the Paisley Penny Arcade. And doing all those things that are done. So I hope you're having a wonderful day and a wonderful week. And getting ready to incorporate Iceland into whatever. I should shut up now. Yes, I should. Today is Wednesday the 21st. Of January of the year 2026. And oh, what a day it is. Kind of chilly where I am. Maybe it is where you are too. We're expecting some cold Arctic wintery weather here. So on the weekend, actually tonight, it's going to barrel in. And you know, it's winter. What can I say? We've had some incredibly warm weather and nice weather, and so I guess it has to come. I should button up in here. It's cold in the arcade. Yeah, it's in my head. Yes, there's no hair, so something has to go in there. We're going to talk about the head tonight, the brain, the mind, the strangeness of it all. Might as well, shouldn't we? In metaphysics, in the mysteries, I don't know if anyone's interested in this, but it fascinated me from the time I was a kid. When I was very young, I had a photographic memory, eidetic imagery. I could look at something and remember it, all the details, and see it in my mind. And that was kind of nice, I have to admit. Got me into a lot of trouble in school. I was accused of cheating. And I had a teacher who said I was cheating. That's not fair to the other children, is it? Is it? Yeah. Anyway, because I would look up and to the right, as I recall, and I would look up and I could see the book and I could, you know, and read off the book and you know, I was taken to the principal. And the principal, you know, would say, well, the principal didn't really know what to do. And so I was convinced that that was the wrong thing to do. So I lost that ability over the years. And, you know, so I became a dunce. And being a dunce, well, you know, was, you know, not one of those things that I truly enjoyed. But you know, if you want to join in on the chat room, all you have to do is go to YouTube at Mo Abdelbaki, and you can do that. Or you can go to 12radio.com. I don't have a chat room there. But feel free. Feel free to come along and join the band, so to speak. That's a song, actually. This is going to be interesting, I think, because it really is, to me, a fascinating subject. It truly is, because it's about the mind. And metaphysics, hermeticism specifically, which is what Tarot is in and a lot of astrology is in, used secret languages, used secret codes. Let me get a card here. Let me move my glasses. And Yes, let me. Why? Because people were being tormented and... let me get my Crowley deck here and show you something that I think might surprise you. Give me a second. I'm just going to go through and find a card. These cards are really big, which is nice. I use them for years and years and years and years and years. And I mentioned in my promo for this thing that tarot cards were in fact often designed with secret. This deck certainly was. It's full of secrecy. It's full of secret stuff in it that wasn't meant to be shared. And when he had this designed by Frieda Harris, there's stuff in it that I don't believe he expected her to understand. He just went ahead and said, okay, just, you know, draw this deck. Draw this deck. I'm going to find it. Don't worry. Mnemonics. Well, what are mnemonics? Well, those are things that help you learn things, right? I've got a page over here with stuff written on it that I want to remember to talk to you about. So they're not perfect. And I don't use them for, like, giving a lecture or talking or something like that, because that's kind of a waste. What mnemonics are for, and they're techniques for memorizing things. In metaphysics, what they were used for were to memorize things that you wanted to have on hand when you were working with certain things, like the cards, or when you're working with subjects, specific subjects. And the reason for that was because, well, it could get you into trouble. So it really is a fascinating subject, I think. I've been studying them all my life. The history of these things is quite phenomenal. Actually, this deck is so full of them. I've made an almost 50-year study of the Crowley deck. And it's a university of metaphysics in and of itself. So it's quite fascinating. Hey, Quelly's in the room. Wednesday blessings to you too, Quelly. Nice to see you. Looking for the Chariot card. And it should be here somewhere. The Art card. They're all masterpieces. Frieda did a remarkable job. Remarkable job, Lady Frieda Harris, as she's known. And because of these, here we go. Here's the Chariot card. Now, I will hold this card up. And as you can see, I don't have copyright on these cards. I think I can hold a card up without a lot of trouble. You can see there the charioteer with a crab on its head. It says abracadabra at the top, abracadabra. And you can see it's holding a big chalice in its lap, the charioteer. It has 10 gemstones inset. Those 10 gemstones are to tell you one thing. And that is that it's Malkuth, which says, oh, the charioteer is guardian of Malkuth, or is in fact a woman. And there in the lap is this big old blue, it's purple and blue, it's a chalice. And if so, okay, well, that's purple and that's blue, and blue is the color of fidelity. And he elaborates in the book, and he says that in that, and it's a ruby, supposedly, you know, he tells you that, but he also says that it represents a drop of the blood of Christ. Now, what does he mean by that? Well, long before the Da Vinci Code was written, what he's telling us is that Jesus had progeny. Yeah. So the Da Vinci Code was that story was known long, long, long before it became very popular. There's a book called Holy Blood, Holy Grail that elaborates on this and talks quite a bit about this theory that Jesus had a child, a daughter, who then went on to have children and so on and so forth that are still around today. Apparently, they still have progeny. Look into it. It's kind of fascinating. But that's the type of thing that was not spoken of in open circles, in open company, because it could get you, as we use in modern age, whacked. That could get you put on the rack, or certainly could get you into an immense amount of trouble. I mean, just saying that the Earth was the center of the universe was the standard. So if you said anything other than that, you could get yourself in a lot of trouble. So this chalice represented the womb, and the hidden nature of the charioteer is to represent the Magdalene. Yeah, I think he actually says that, but I don't remember. I've got the book up here somewhere, but we're not going to waste time on that now. So what is being said here is that this is exactly what I was telling you, is that the charioteer is masked, is disguised, and blah, 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 blah. Okay, so there you go. And so oftentimes in readings, I would see this as a sign of pregnancy, and accurately as well. So you can learn things about the cards, and this was then something that was secret. And it became a mnemonic device to say, you know, this is what this means, to remind people of this. And this was, I don't know if this was known in the Golden Dawn or not, but Crowley certainly passed this along. So that's the type of thing that Thoreau passed along. It passed along at one time the seven liberal arts and sciences, you see. Lisa, hello, Lisa. Nice to see you, too. Very nice to see you. The seven liberal arts and sciences, which are grammar, rhetoric, logic, arithmetic, geometry, geography, and astronomy. And it also passed along the five orders of architecture, and I won't bore you with that. It passed along things that were academic standards. See, there were the Ionic, the Doric, the Tuscan, the Corinthian, and the Composite. I bored you, I know. But these are things that were passed along, and so these were part of it. But there were also, what did they mean? What did those? Why were they passed along through Thoreau? Well, because they were passing along perhaps other information at the same time. When you can pass along something through obvious means and hide the real meaning behind it, slide it in under the umpire's nose, so to speak, then you've got a pretty good deal going. You've got a pretty good situation on hand, and so that's what they were doing. Hi, Renee, you made it. Welcome to the room. Yeah, I love it when you're in the chat room. Yeah, it's very nice indeed. Come on in. So, this was very common back then, and one way to do this was through this mnemonic system, and the cards were a perfect way to pass that information along. But you had to be in on the joke. Well, it's not a joke, but you had to be in on the system. Someone had to say to you, this is what it's about. This is how we do it. And the way we do it is by saying, okay, this is what this means. This is what this means. So, for example, a pomegranate, which we see in Arthur Edward Waite's deck, and we see seeds in the Crowley deck in the priestess card at the feet of the priestess. What is that about? Well, it has to do with the fertility of the priestess. You know, young girls in utero have, I mean, hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of eggs. They're very fertile. And when a young girl is born, when a baby is born and is female, she has like thousands and thousands of eggs. And that's the fertility of young girls. And as, you know, as and I used to know the number. I don't, memory. But you realize that this is one of the meanings of the priestess card. And of course, another meaning of the priestess card is the moon, and another meaning of the priestess card is menses, and another meaning of the priestess card is cycles, and another meaning of the priestess card has to do with changeability and changeability every day. And there are all these meanings of the priestess card, and that you can really, but you have to, and if someone doesn't tell you what it's about, there are certain things that you can't know unless someone tells you, because there may be meanings that are known only to that particular order, because they made it up themselves. So it's kind of fascinating, and you'll read something. For example, I saw something in the Fool card that just absolutely astounded me. It just blew me away one day. I'll talk to you sometime, because I don't want to get off on a completely wrong tangent, you know. But it just absolutely astounded me, because what it told me was that Crowley is saying, when you are working in any type of field whatsoever, always make sure that you watch your back, because there will be people trying to destroy you. So make sure that you are working on not being destroyed, because there are people who are going to be envious of you, and they will do things to try and take you out and take you down. And this had to do with a lawsuit that he had in England. It was a terrible drain on him emotionally, mentally. It was just terrible. I mean, it just exhausted him, and it was kind of too much. Way too much. He should not have involved himself in it, but he did, and he left that in the Fool card. And when I saw it, I just went, holy cats, I mean, really, this was just way too much for him, and he left that message in the card. Now, whether Frieda Harris knew that that's what he was saying or not, I don't know. Or he left there's a snail at the bottom of the card next to the crocodile. The meaning of that is unbelievable. That's hidden. I caught that meaning. And it's once again, it's a mnemonic if you think about it, and it has a very grave warning in it about, you know, don't do this, don't do that. Hello. Hello, Audra. How are you? Good to see you. Welcome to the room. So mnemonics are really kind of fascinating, and I've studied them most of my life. Because it was the type of thing that, well, once I lost my photographic memory, or it was beaten out of me, not literally, but in a way, I used to be ambidextrous. I could write with both hands. I now try and eat with my left hand, try and get a little bit of that back. I have a friend, he's a bishop, he can eat with chopsticks with both hands. He looks like a crab when he eats that way. It's kind of fascinating to watch. I can't. I can eat with my left hand, but I can't write with my left hand. I used to be able to write and read with my left hand. Not quite, but I mean, it was, and they stopped me from doing that. They had me sit on my left hand because they were afraid that it would, you know, who knows, the creature from the Black Lagoon would rise up in me or something. And I'm extremely resentful of that to this day, because it was, and sometimes I would draw with my left hand, but I was like, what are you doing to me? What are you doing? You stopped me from my eidetic imagery, and you stopped this. But that was the 50s in the United States. That's what they did. I probably would have been worse in another country. I'm quite certain of that. So it's just a very strange thing. So I had to find other ways, you know, like 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. That's a form of a mnemonic, learning things. And mnemonics are named after Mnemosyne, who was the daughter of Uranus, and Rhea, I think, if I recall, the Titans, and she was a Titan. And she was the daughter of Rhea and Zeus, maybe? Zeus. He liked, she was very beautiful. And she gave birth to the Muses. The Muses. The nine Muses. And I created a mnemonic for that, and it's Meep Cucut, which is CCUTT. And you can remember, polyhymnia, and which is, Meep. It's Melpomene, Pemone, and Erato, and Euterpe, Erato, and Euterpe, and polyhymna, and it doesn't matter. But the reason for this is I didn't need it for any classes or anything like that. There is such joy in learning. There is such joy in learning if you get into that sort of thing. But more than that, what it does is it provides you with this mind that is kind of turned on all the time. And I like that. I haven't. Now, there was a time when I gladly parted with my sobriety. It was a long time that I gladly parted with my sobriety. Lisa says she was left-handed. Her sister said her mom tied her hand behind her back to force her to become right-handed, dominant, and that was in Japan. Interesting, Lisa. Interesting that they would, conformity. Yeah, conformity. I'm sorry for that. I had the same thing, said, here's a story. When I was in kindergarten, my first day of kindergarten, I'll never forget it, I walked into the room, and this little Egyptian boy, I didn't have a beard yet, I was working on it, but it wasn't really, hadn't come in yet, he walked in, and they made me, the teacher, made me, they had these tiles on the floor that were animals, right? So a giraffe and a dog and a cat, and I wanted to sit like on a cat or a dog, right? Because I had a cat named Ginger, and we had to leave the cat behind when we moved, and I missed my cat so much. And I love dogs. I wanted to sit like on it. Then my dad was a vet, and so I wanted to sit, and they made me, gave me no choice in the matter, made me sit on the camel. We had a little stuffed camel thing, tchotchke that was, in the house on a table. And that's the only camel I knew. I didn't have any other idea. And yet that was how it was. That's how it was back then. It's like, why did they make me sit on this camel? Well, because that was the way it was. Don't draw with this hand, the left hand, that the left hand is called sinister, right? Right. This is called dexter. Dexterous. You're dexterous. This is the sinister hand. Swenny, they did a show about a serial killer called Dexter, the right hand, right? So I think that's a bit humorous that they did that. They did that on purpose, I'm sure. But that's the key. That's the case. So, yeah, we've been swindled out of certain things. But we can get it back. We can get back our heads. It sharpens the mind to do some of these things. What did I want to... Now, I'm getting into my 70s. I am in my 70s. What am I getting into? What did I want to talk to you about for sure? I didn't want to forget to talk about. Simonides of Athens. Simonides of Athens. Simonides of Athens is supposedly the creator of these things mnemonics come from her name, supposedly created these things, and he was extremely, had an incredible memory, but he used these little tricks. I don't know if you've ever heard of a guy named Harry Lorraine. Harry Lorraine was very, he was a huge deal when I was a kid. And he was also a sleight-of-hand magician, card magician. He was really pretty good. I bought his card book when I was in Hollywood and when I was 18 years old at, I think it was it Burt Wheeler's Magic Shop or someone's Magic Shop down in Hollywood? And I still have it today, and it's still an excellent book. I haven't done card magic in a long time because it, frankly, I shouldn't say this. I won't say it other than it kind of bores me a little bit, but that's all right. Not a lot, but, you know, when it's in the right hands, nothing like it if it's in the right hands. Interestingly enough, we're going to talk a little bit about one of the best that ever lived, a guy named Di Vernon, because he used some of these mnemonics to his benefit. The guy could memorize a deck of cards, shuffled cards, legitimately memorize them very quickly, in like under 3 minutes, and then, you know, and win bets with that. He was kind of ahead of time when he was kind of a hustler, and he had made money doing that. And I used to be able to memorize a deck of cards pretty quickly because I used this technique. We'll talk about that in just a second. What is all this for? This. You want to keep your mind straight and clear? Well, I'm not saying that'll do it, but I mean, it hasn't done it for me. But I use these things. I have the I Ching up in here, most of it. Sometimes it slips away a little bit. I'm getting older. It happens. It's the weirdest thing in the world. It's the weirdest thing in the world when a name just completely slips away. It's just suddenly, woof, gone. Or a scenario is just, woof, gone, you know? And you're like, where'd it go? Where is it? Where'd it go? And you have to search for it. But I know people who are my age, and it's ta-ta. They can't retrieve it. And I keep practicing these things. I have a book right here in my pocket. I'm going to show it to you in a little bit. This is important book to me, and I'll tell you why in just a second. So Simonides of Athens, he created all these different things. Now, museums are named after the muses, and museums were set up specifically for people to go to be inspired. That's where they were set up for, you see. So you had someone like Calliope, who was not the muse of loud, piercing noises. She was the muse of epic poetry. So there might be a statue to Calliope, and you would go and you would stand, and you, if you were going to write an epic poem, you would stand there and you would say, "Oh, Calliope, you know, I would like I'm going to write a poem," and you would stand and you would maybe talk to the statue, or you would go to a museum, and in the museum, which was filled with artwork, you would hope to be amused, filled with the muse, right? Yeah, that's what it's about. That's what it's about. Pamela, don't worry about being late. I mean, I was naked a few minutes ago, and you missed that. I'm kidding. No. It would be a terrible thing to do to anybody. Welcome. What a horrible thing to put in people's minds, you know. People are knitting needles right now. No. Anyway, so I think I've got a crochet hook here. Right here? Yeah. Right here? Yeah. Here's a crochet hook. See, who knows? I crochet. I haven't in a long time. I like this one. This is a nice crochet hook, you know. It's a nice one. I like that one. Look at the colors on that, too. I mean, really. Anyway. Have fun. Anyway, so Simonides of Athens is at this party. Yeah. And someone comes and says, "Excuse me, Simonides Stirrer. There are a couple of guys at the front door. They want to talk to you. But they say all this in Greek, of course. And so he says, oh, okay, I'll be right back. So he gets up, and it's this huge banquet. And he goes to the door, and they say, you need to come outside right away. So he goes outside, and he sees the Dioscuri. The Dioscuri are the two twins, right? Castor and Pollux. And he goes, oh, my goodness, you're deified. You're, what are you doing here? And as soon as he goes outside and begins talking to them, boom, they vanish. And just as they do so, kaboom, this place that he's sitting at just completely collapses. And he's outside, so he's okay, but everyone inside is smooshed. Don't cry. It was back a long time ago. They'd all be gone anyway, you know. So they're all smooshed. And it's like, oh my God. I mean, you know what, now we don't even know who they were or where they were sitting. It's terrible. So Simonides says, don't worry. I remember not only who was in that room, but where they were seated. And he goes in and he reconstructs the whole thing because of his memory. That's a great story. I'm guessing it's maybe, you know, we make stories up. So who knows if it's real or not? Who knows if the story is true or not? But that's the story of Simonides of Athens. And that's one of the first, supposedly he's the first great mental, you know. And there's all these others. Anyway, Harry Lorraine back in the 60s and 70s. And then a guy comes along by the name of Dominic O'Brien. And he blows the whole thing open. There was a contest, how much pie can you eat? I won that. No, that's not it. How much of pie can you remember? 3.141516, etc. It's all the further I know. Because who cares? Well, other people do. I don't. So that was the big deal. He won the championship. He's won 8 world championships, and he has a method. And the method is absolutely brilliant. It's sheer genius. And let me tell you quickly what it is. Now, I don't think I'm, you know, I mean, it's been around for decades, I think. And it has to do with how do you remember long numbers. So what he basically says is you take every number 1 through 10 and beyond. Actually, it says every number 1 through 100 and you attach letters to it. And then you put a celebrity to it. And I did that. Here it is. My memory book, the master book. I've had this for years. It's in pencil. Why? Because, the beginning is full of revelations on Tarot that I've got. And these revelations are written almost in code. It's very hard for other people to read. Not because I was trying out a type of writing and it's just so hard to read. But Master List, you see? Master List. Master List of his system. So, for example, the number 11... A is the first letter of the alphabet, so it's 1. So AA, which is 11, is Arthur Ashe. That's my decision. You have to come up with your own. So example 47 for me is Dobie Gillis. You know, look it up. It's Dominic O'Brien, if you want to try this thing. Pamela had a crazy day. I'm sorry about that. I have those almost every day, but then I'm kind of crazy, you know? So, Dobie Gillis. And what you do is you come up not only with, and you can look it up, and it's listed, and I think his numbers are listed, and how he does it. So, and you go, for, and it's an investment, because you have to come up with 100 people. And it's not easy at a certain point. Trust me, it's not easy. But I came up with the 100. 99, actually, is what it is. You don't come up with 100. You come up with 99. And about halfway through, you're going, why did I decide to do this? You know, this is stupid. I don't want to do this. But it's amazing. Because when you do it, and you're doing not only the celebrity, but what that celebrity is doing. So, for example, the 45th hexagram of the I Ching is Dale Evans on a horse smoking a cigarette, which tells me the I Ching it is, but also what it is. And because it tells me the, you know, it's the eighth trigram and the second trigram, all of that from that. Audra had a cat named Ginger too. That's pretty sweet. Yeah, you will know 100 people. You just have to, you know, you can go to, now we have the internet. I don't think I had the internet when I did this because I had to just think of people, which is why 47 is Dobie Gillis. You know, I mean, but I watched Dobie when I was a kid. My dad and I would watch Dobie Gillis and laugh, you know. And some of them you have to really, you know, you've got to really, like my number 40 is Donald O'Connor. That's that. 00, which is, you know, 00 is olive oil, which is the O, you know. And you make up your own, and you write it down, and you write down what they're doing. And so what that allows you to do is you can then have, it's very complicated if in the beginning, but once you get it, you practice by memorizing license plates, using it with license plates, but you'll be absolutely flabbergasted how many times this thing comes in handy. You'd be surprised. You want to remember something very quickly, and boom, here comes the system. And it's amazing how many times numbers come up, but it doesn't just have to be numbers. It's, okay, I want to remember this. Boom, there it is, the O'Brien system. And there's another system known as the major system, right? The major system. But a lot of the I Ching is in. Now, here's the thing. This is absolutely not meant to take the place of knowledge. Okay? We don't want to replace knowledge with this stuff. This only is to allow you to kind of get a, it's a placeholder. Okay, let me just hang on to this for a little while so I don't constantly have to be carrying around a big tome of information. It's to put it in the head, and you then study the stuff as you can. I mean, 64 hexagrams is a lot. 384 moving lines in the I Ching. Well, wouldn't you like to be able to use the I Ching on the fly? It's nice. It's nice to be able to toss the coins and then say, ah, it's this hexagram, and then go to the next. And of course, you have to study it on your own so that you can say, okay, I know what this means. But that you can do at your leisure. But if you have the ability to say, okay, I know what this is, and I know what this goes to, and if you have the mnemonic device that says that's this hexagram, it moves to this, oh, that's the 18th hexagram, that's Go, and I know that what this is it's the mountain with wind blowing at the bottom. Work on what has been spoiled, decay. Boom, it's in your head. It's there. And eventually, although the mnemonic may always be there, it isn't about the mnemonic anymore. It's there. It's the knowledge is there, and you understand it completely. Completely. You see? And it works. It doesn't replace, you know, when someone says to you, when did Columbus do his thing, whatever that thing was, 1492, you know, it's like, what are the five great lakes? You know, it's Holmes, right? Did you learn that one? You know, Huron, Ontario, Michigan, Erie, Superior. That's the only way I knew it. If someone were to ask me that before I learned those, it'd be like, Monongahela, Lakeside Amusement Park, you know, I mean, it would be just a lost cause. So, it's a matter of, and you don't have to do this. You don't, but don't be afraid to use the tricks that the mind loves. Make it a game. I love these little games. I really do. What else do I have written down here like that? The systems are fun. How about a memory palace? I love the concept of a memory palace. These are from the Hermetic days when people were being, thrown in dungeons for thinking that, our friend Galileo Galilei, he spent the rest of his life, the last 8 years of his life, under house arrest for refusing to retract his belief that the world, that our Earth was not the center of the solar system. And there are stories out that he recanted and stuff. If he'd recanted, they would have let him out. He didn't. That was for the Pope to save face. Supposedly they tortured him. I read that he never recanted, but he had two powerful Medicis as his backers, so they couldn't kill him. They didn't want to kill him. They liked him, So these little things, and what do you want to learn? If, let's say, you want to learn a tarot deck, and you want to know all the cards, that too, words, curds and whey, right? Yeah, you want to know all the cards. I form little cartoons in my head if there's something like that I want to learn. And I see the first card, boom, and like the Ace of Wands, whoomph. Mine is a big match, and I think about that match and what it looks like. And then I think about the Two of Wands, and I see myself, mine is my Two of Wands, Dominion as it's called, is a magician on stage with his wand, and then a conductor in the pit. And both wands are necessary for their dominion, the dominion of the orchestra and the dominion of the stage. And they work off of each other. One wand on stage, he controls, part of the act, and the other wand controls the music, and they work with each other. And so I see walking into there, and, of course, I know that deck pretty well. But you create a cartoon, one from the next, and it's a mnemonic device. You create it, and you walk into it, and you see it, and you make it as real as you can. And you'll be surprised when you see something like that and make it as real as you can. It becomes very powerful. If you're trying to know the I Ching better, see it as the natural phenomena that they are. The hexagrams are made up of trigrams, and each trigram is a piece of nature. So, for example, the 17th hexagram is called following. What's following what? Well, there's a lake, and there's thunder at the bottom. So, and I see this big boom at the bottom, and there's this, big bubble of energy that moves up and boom, follows up into the, it's just fascinating to me. It's called sweep. And it's just a remarkable sort of thing, And 17, the number 17, A is 1, right? And 7 is G, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, right? As that's Arlo Guthrie. So I see Arlo Guthrie singing a song and about this process. And you just create this little thing, and you have to go over it, the book. You write it down in pencil. And it's just, it becomes fun. This book, if I lost this, I'd be bummed, but I could figure it out again. Now, there's another major system that is very old. It's very, 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 very old. They used to teach this to kids before people became very uptight, because the images, the more absurd the image, the better you'll remember it. Like obscene. You can remember obscene things very quickly. But they decided, no, we're not going to teach this to kids anymore. We're talking the 1500s when they said, no, can't teach this anymore. But here's the major system, and you can look this up. But I changed it a little bit because of Di Vernon, who was the magician I told you about. He really had a very great system. He changed it a little bit about what it is every number has a letter attached to it. So the number one has the letter L, because it kind of looks like an L. The number two has an N attached to it, because there are two, when you do an N, right? An M is three, One, two, three. Three. If you turn on its side, it looks like an M. The number four rhymes with R, right? And number five rhymes with hive. Now, that varies from the traditional major system, which started in France, so we're not going to... It's a different system. I do it differently. Mine is a V or an F. That's more along with the Kabbalah, but let's not get into why. Six is a B or a P. Seven is a T. Eight is a CH or an H or a J sound. Nine is an N. And make sure that nine is a G or a K or an NG. And 10 is an S or a Z. And then what you do, you can do cards. And I have them all written down here. I revised it just the other day. So I had to start all over again, and I have to remember. And when you get to the royalty. So, for example, what you do is you do something like the clubs. So, clubs would be, the ace of clubs would be a cola. Well, right? And the ace of hearts would be a hula. So, it could be a hula hoop or a hula dancer. The ace of spades, S, and the L sound. So, it's a sill, like a windowsill. And D would be a doll, right? D for diamonds, L, doll. And you just go, for example, the two of hearts is a hen, the three of hearts is a ham, and so on and so forth. And what you do is you remember these cards, but you have to have them down here really, really well. I used to be able to do this. What I would do is before I went to bed, I would go through and what you do is you create a story. There was a dog, and the dog had a car, and the car had a this. And then first thing in the morning, you see if you remember them. And this, you create a story, and the more absurd the story, the better. And then you see if you remember them. I used to be very good at it. Very, very good at it. And I was in my 30s, I think. I never made any money doing it because I'm not that kind of guy. I should have been. and then for the royalty, you just remember someone like, for example, my Jack of, and I just redid all these because the other people, I never remember too well. But for example, my Jack of clubs is Jim Carrey. So J for Jack, and my Jack of hearts is Jack Haley. That's the same as the old one I had. On and on and on. But these mnemonics, you know, and how does this help in metaphysics? You'd be surprised. You can use them for things if you really, you'll just say, oh, I know what I can use this for, and you'll use it, you know. It's like if you want to do mnemonics for the hand. You know, this is the mound of, this is the finger of Apollo, this is the finger of Jupiter, or this is Jupiter, and this is Saturn, this is Saturn, I haven't done palmistry in a long time, Apollo and Mercury, and then these mounds, and then you can just, it's, you'll use this, but more than that, it keeps the mind, before people came uptight, yeah, Audra. People have been uptight in one form or another for a long time. So this is pretty fun stuff. I was just thinking, I want to show you something. The first poem I ever memorized was when I was 10 or 9 years old. I actually have something. I'm going to show it to you right now. Okay? Are you ready? All right. Here it is. Now, how's that for wanting to learn a poem for the first time, huh? So that's what got me started with that type of memorization anyway, The Walrus and the Carpenter. So, and that's public domain. The poem is public domain, and I did the drawing, so YouTube, everything is cool. You don't need to hurt me. Okay, So that's kind of an introduction to mnemonics and what it can do for you, and using it in metaphysics. It's very valuable. And this stuff, when you're doing a reading, will come in handy. Because you'll suddenly, it'll just bing, pop in. And that's the thing about readings. When you're working with these things, when you're doing a reading, the information will just pop into your head like, oh my goodness, that's remarkable. And that's what'll happen, okay? So, that's kind of it. There's a lot more, of course, and it depends on, I mean, you don't have to do any of this stuff. I just I love how this works. I love it all. I love it all. And it just keeps the mind kind of, I think, juiced up and lubricated. And I think we need to have lubricated minds, especially with the stuff that we eat and is in the air. There seems to be a lot of problems with mentality. And if I still, my mind still goes, at least I'll be completely out of my mind. I mean, totally a total lunatic. I'm almost there now, but it'll be kind of fascinating, I think. So if you have any questions about this, leave them in the comments. Ask me questions. Happy to answer any questions you may have as best as I can. Remember, it's Harry Lorraine. I think he's probably gone by now. And Dominic O'Brien. And you can look him up. He's a pretty big deal. I think he's made an entire living as a memory expert and done very well for himself, I think. He's a professional mind, you know. And that's cool, too. All right? All right. So. Until next time. Until next week. I wish you all peace. And I wish you all love. Have a wonderful week, will you? And we will see. We. Who is that we? Well, you know. Je ne sais pas. Love you. Talk to you later. Bye.
Until next we meet, I'll be waiting for you right here in the Paisley Penny Arcade. 1, 2, 3, 4.